This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number two. If you want to call in, the number's 865-546-8200. Breaking down the U.S. Open a little bit. Torrey Pines getting started this morning.
Not for a while. They're on the West Coast.
Well, yeah.
9:45, I believe.
Okay. Well, still this morning.
No, yeah, I'm just saying it's not like it's going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Where is Torrey Pines exactly?
La Falla, California.
Okay.
I said that earlier.
I didn't remember. I think he used to play that course on the old Tiger Woods.
I believe he did.
Video game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We got Matt. He's a big golf fan. What's up, Matt? You're on three and out.
Oh,
hello, Matt.
That Tiger Woods game, is that that's the heartbeat Tiger Woods, wasn't it? Tiger Vision.
That sounds right. It was a good game.
That might be one of the best golf games of all time.
It's no Golden Tee, but...
Other than Golden Tee, yeah. Yep. Golden Tee's got a...
Golden Tee's an all-timer.
I don't remember
where
what...
Where y'all play Golden Tee yet?
Golly, I'm trying to remember the last place I played that.
We need to get together and throw us around a Golden Tee, fellas.
Where can we find it?
Buckethead.
Oh, they got it all over.
Buckethead's got a Golden Tee?
Buckethead,
got one at Ale House.
Okay.
Yeah, up on Bearden Hill, Buckethead House.
Not that Ale House. Carolina Ale House.
Oh. They have it too?
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
I think Bearden Hill's got a bunch of them. Okay. Buckethead's got a few that's good, so. How's it going, guys?
It's good.
It's getting better. We're finding some stuff.
Just trying to get through the week, ready for some baseball.
I think we completely forgot the golf tournament was happening when we started the show, so that's good. That's how so much we're in the loop there.
I can't stand Bryson. You guys know that, right?
Yeah. I'm starting to come around on the old I don't like him either. Because Brooks Koepka just seems like a normal, fun-loving dude. And if he can't stand Bryson, there's got to be something there.
Yeah, Bryson just – I mean, I think a lot of guys on tour don't care for him behind the scenes. It's just – but, I don't know, man. Everything about him just annoys me now. Like, he has his little – his hat he wears. I mean, he's – it looked fine on him when he was thin. I mean, you don't wear an English hat when you weigh, 260 and you're meaty. It just looks dumb as hell.
It just looks weird, doesn't it?
Yeah. It doesn't fit him now.
That's not fat shit.
I'll tell you why I don't like him. Look, and I mean his golf game. I don't know the guy personally, but I just don't root for him. But he's put in a lot of work. I don't take that away from him. I just think what he's doing is not good for the game as a whole. And at some point, they're going to tailor it back to eliminate what he's doing and what a couple of these other guys that are – because some of these younger players that are coming into the league, I was watching yesterday, they were just doing a little 30-minute clip on this. I mean, these young players that are coming in, they're trying to imitate Bryson now.
Hmm.
And that's what the game's going to, is this power, 190-mile-an-hour ball speed, which is just ridiculous, man.
So is he having the Steph Curry impact?
What's that?
The Steph Curry impact. Steph Curry changed the game of basketball where it's just like now kids all they want to do is jack up threes. I understand from a statistical standpoint, but, I mean, we're seeing kids take threes from 5 feet behind the three-point line.
Yeah. Hold on one second.
It's 2 days in a row.
We're getting put on hold again?
2 days in a row. Right. We got put on hold.
Yeah, sorry about that. I got my dang navigation going in the background on the phone, and I can't hear what you're saying. I just heard Davey talking about Steph Curry.
So. Oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah, just basically like
it
everybody.
It was a great analogy.
Like, it's a good analogy. Like, everyone sees that. It's the new great thing. And so instead of kids saying, oh, I want to learn how to be, you know, great with my irons, and they're just like, hey, how do I hit it 400 yards?
So yeah, people are mad that he's taking the Happy Gilmore approach is what I take out of this situation.
Well, the thing is with Steph Curry, though, is Steph Curry puts a lot of work into his shot, and it's like he's using the same – he's just using his natural athletic ability to make something happen on the court that other guys can do with the same tools. It's like there's no advantage for – Bryson, on the other hand, has worked out and made his body stronger, but he's also taking the golf clubs and technology and using that to his advantage too, which is where I think – the line should be drawn. I mean, he's got baseball grips for his damn irons, man. Everything's cut the same. He uses an extra long driver, which, you know, 10 years ago was illegal, and then they legalized it, and so he's got an inch longer on his driver. It's like, you know, this stuff, they used to cut, back when Tiger was playing, especially early on, they had a lot of rules in place for this stuff, and then they just kind of started letting these guys push the limit more and more, and now technology with golf balls and these drivers, the driver heads, it's like there's just no reason guys should be driving the ball 360. It just, these golf courses, I mean, and what sucks is he's probably going to win the Open based on what he did last year where he just drives it 360 and hits out of that cuckoo grass. I mean, just that's all he's going to do. When you're hitting a 60-yard lob wedge out of 6-inch grass, I'd probably take that over hitting a 200-yard 5-iron. You know?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, that's when he won last year, like, that's what he did. He just drove it as far as he could, and whether he was in the rough or not, he only had, you know, he had less than 100 on, I think, every approach.
Well, I don't know, man. I just think it's – and then you got Rory and these other guys that are – Rory drives the ball, and Rory's talking about how, you know, he's like, I'm trying to get to the point where I can duplicate what Bryson does. And so these guys are all just trying to – you know, I don't hope Bryson gets hurt, but I would like somehow.
That was like the liest lie of all time. I know no one brought this up, and I'm definitely not thinking it, and I don't want him to get hurt, but
you know what Ned Stark said about, you know, the word but, right?
Yeah, everything that comes before it is a lie.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't want his body to hold up.
Jeez,
you know, just maybe a blown out back or a knee or something, just to bring him down a notch.
Oh, I mean, all that work he puts in, it's a lot of stress on your body. Like, it does have, obviously, a lot of beneficial factors, but, I mean, all that torque, all that stress, I mean, that's what Tiger's knees went bad. That's why his back went bad. Like, it catches up with you eventually.
Yeah. I mean, I just think the difference, though, like, with these guys, it's just he – I think the reason I don't like him, he reminds me of Butch Jones, man, like a golfing Butch Jones. Like, he's an analytical – he looks at all these numbers, all this analytics. When you interview the guy, he just talks about, well, I'm at 189 miles an hour, but I've got to do this, and push myself to get to 192. And then once I get to 192, you know, I know myself better than anybody. I'm just not going to be happy until I get to 192. It's just the way he talks, dude. It's like, dude, just go out there and play some GD golf, man. Hit the damn ball. It's a fun sport. What happened to feel, man? All this analytic BS. They were showing yesterday on the U.S. Open a warm-up round from 12, 13 years ago in 2008. And it had Tiger Woods and Phil and all these guys lined up. There was no equipment on the sideline to measure ball speed. No, none of that stuff was there. Mm. Now you look at it, you go down the sideline, every guy has – I looked yesterday, there's a guy that's got a tennis ball. I don't know who the golfer was. A tennis ball hanging around his neck, like one of those contraptions. They've got – everybody's
like
got
from Tin Cup?
Monitors.
Like the –
Yes. That literally, yeah.
It looks like the halo, like when you break your neck, you got to wear that thing around?
Yeah, man. They all had it. They all had the sticks lined down. Now, even Phil's doing it now. I mean, they've all got the technology to measure ball speed and all that. And that's fine, man. I just think it's just bad for the sport. You know, that's why they need to take green books away for the greens, which I think they're going to do. You shouldn't have green books to read greens, man.
Yeah, Rory came out and said that too. Said he thinks they should be banned.
Where's the feel, man?
What tournament was it where they didn't allow that?
Was it the Masters? It was a major. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a major.
I think it was a Masters.
I think it was too because Bryson was terrible.
Well, guys, let's go play Willow Creek. Seriously, and I'm not a great golfer. I'm not a scratch golfer by any means. But let's go play Willow Creek or pick a golf course, and let's line the fairway with fans and give me greens, green books to read greens and a caddy, and I'll probably shave 6 strokes off my game.
Mm.
Just from having balls go out of bounds and hit some knucklehead and bounce right back in.
Or just knowing where it is, you know?
Knowing where it is, or having the grass be trampled down where you can hit off of it.
Yeah, right. Gallery rule.
They got enough advantages. All right, man, my rant's over. I could go on with LeBron, but I'll do that next week.
See you, Matt. Appreciate the call. Doesn't want
the Masters
Bryson to get hurt.
Doesn't allow a green book.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought it was the Masters. Okay.
The Player Advisory Council voted 2 weeks ago to outlaw the green books, according to a report by Golf Week on Wednesday.
Wait, say that again?
The Player Advisory Council voted 2 weeks ago to outlaw the green books, according to a report by Golf Week on Wednesday. The full board of the PGA Tour might vote on the recommendation as early as next week.
Oh, wow.
At the Travelers, the ban would reportedly take effect to start the 2021-2022 season.
What exactly is it? Is it just tell you like where the breaks are? Like how much drop there is on this ridge to the lower tier, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so. McIlroy said, I think reading greens is a real skill that some people are better at than others and just nullifies that advantage that people have. He said, I think it's made everyone lazier. People don't put in the time to prepare the way they used to, and that's why you see so many players at Augusta, for example, take their time around the greens, hit so many more putts. It's because they have to. It's because there is no greens book at Augusta.
So they don't even have one.
Right.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. I don't have a problem with that.
McIlroy said it might actually speed up the rounds, too, in the competition. Like, they'll have to prep more, but in the actual event, they'll play faster. Because right now, when they get to the green, they're checking their book a million times, making sure that they, you know. He said it might make the practice rounds a little longer. You might have to do a little more work. But once you get in the tournament rounds, it'll speed up play. And I think it'll help guys who really have done their homework. It'll help them stand out a little bit more.
Might see some scores go up, though.
What do you think about the arm lock putter? That's another thing they're talking about banning.
That's what Bryson does, right? He locks it on his left arm.
Webb Simpson, Will Zalatoris, Keegan Bradley, Matt Kuchar, they're all using it. Xander Schauffele just switched to it.
Oh, really? I don't like it.
You don't like that you're allowed to do it?
Mm-mm. I think you should hold the clubs the same.
Have to put your hands on the putter grip, and that's it. Nothing above it, below it, whatever.
What do you think? You like that or no? Well, it's like they got rid of the locked putter where they put it in like their stomach or their chest, right?
Belly putter.
Belly putter. Uh-huh. And they got rid of the
pendulum.
How did they even carry those in the bag? Did they not stick out like 5 feet?
Out. Okay. Yeah.
That was weird. No, yeah, just make it a club length limit on everything but your drivers and woods. Like there can't, you know,
wait,
you can't.
So Schauffele said this. Schauffele said, "My putting coach, my whole team, honestly, we're very against change, and I had to see what the craze was about." Wait, maybe this was before. Oh yeah, okay.
No, this sounds like he's talking about switching to
this. Let me switch. I do feel funny, obviously, being a top 10 putter on tour. Switching putters or the style of putting, it's a distinct advantage. I am for banning the arm lock putters, but if everyone else is going to use it, I feel like they have a bigger advantage. I may as well do the same. Like, imagine you're playing a sport and you're like, well, what would be most fair is if no one could do this. But if everybody else is going to do it, I have to do it.
And he's top 10. He said he's top 10
already. But he's switching. I mean.
Yeah, that tells me as if I needed any more reason to agree with it. I mean,
right.
If it's that much of an advantage, it just shouldn't be a thing. Like, everyone should just have to use the same. I mean, I get it, like, you know, peeing irons are going to be a little different from you know, TaylorMade irons and this, you know, all this Cobra driver here. And mm-hmm. I get all that. Like, that's just equipment. But, like, the dimensions and the way you use the club should be across the board, I think. I mean, this a top 10 putter says, I'm switching to keep my advantage and even increase it because this thing is ridiculous.
Because this is so much better. Yeah, I mean, either this needs to be the way everybody putts, like in golf, like forever, like everyone,
mm-hmm.
or they need to just ban it so you go back to the traditional way that you swing a golf club.
Right. Like, I don't have a problem with the guys who now, instead of baseball gripping
yeah,
when
the
they
claw
putt,
grip.
They, yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
Because you're still
swinging
you're,
by
yeah,
the arm.
Exactly. But the whole lot, of course, Bryson uses it. No wonder he had all those bombs last year.
We'll come back with more. Yeah, golf does have a problem. I mean, they're always going to have this issue.
Well, it's always an equipment arms race. Like, you know, which driver at 180 mile an hour club head speed will hit it further, straighter, and that's fine. Like, let the companies battle that out. But when it comes to
the dimensions of the clubs,
yeah,
how hot the face can be, all that,
yeah,
stuff.
Like that stuff,
like,
just like
come,
yeah, there has to be some kind of
the
limitations
balls,
there.
Yeah. Come back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Come to decide that the things that are. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Got some good topics coming up. Can't wait. Back to the phone lines first, though. 865-546-8200. We got Zach up next. What's up, Zach? You're on 3 and Out.
Well, you say Houston, Nate, Davey, and Adam.
Morning, brother.
How are you guys doing today?
Great, buddy. How are you?
Doing good. Can't complain if I did. Who'd listen? I got a question for you. So, you guys heard any latest on if the NCAA are getting ready to come down with a decision about UT football penalties?
I have not. Nate, anything? I have heard no timeline, and every time they bring up the timeline, it just says we're still amidst the timeline.
Do you want it to drag out as long as possible?
You do?
Yeah. The longer it waits, the less severe the punishment will be.
Well, like, but having it looming over your program for, let's say it goes for 4 years, do kids and things like that matter when it comes to recruiting?
Are kids still committing to LSU to play basketball for Will Wade?
Is it different for basketball, though?
Not really, no.
Football?
I mean, you could argue you don't have to get as many, but...
Well, and it's one and done if you want to be.
I would think it would be the opposite. Like, in basketball, I'd be really hacked if I went to a school and then couldn't play in the NCAA tournament. If I go to a football school that's not expected to be in the playoff, which Tennessee isn't, and the bowl game gets canceled, it's not that big a deal to me. That's just less practice.
Football players
are already sitting out of bowl games.
Yeah, the difference with the LSU thing is you at least have a proven coach there. So,
the rumors are that there's no idea when the NCAA is going to come down. This is not even on their radar right now, or how long they drag their feet. It could be a long, long time. So, don't you think Plowman and people like that, fired everybody, was honest with everybody with the program, and thought this, even Danny the Plumber thought that this would be over as long as they want a resolution a little quicker, right? That's their goal.
I don't know. I don't know what their goal is. I think the more honest and forthright they are,
The more severe the punishment will be. I'm being dead serious. Like, I can point to examples.
If we hadn't fired everybody, I might agree with you. But the fact that we rolled everybody that was in there, got them out, And now basically Dondi and Randy Boyd are the only two people left, and they're saying, look, we can prove that we had no idea, but everything that we found, here's what we found, and here's why we fired everybody. At that point, like, you've already kind of punished yourself in a way if you're Tennessee.
Check this out, Zach. They spent over $500,000 on attorney fees just from November through April, just investigating themselves. And apparently, Donnie Plowman said she does not think there'll be a resolution before football season begins.
Good.
So hurry up and wait.
Did we nuke our program in December?
Yeah.
No, you nuked it when you hired Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah,
that's
where I was going.
Yeah, and Philip Fulmer.
But did your administrator, like, should we have?
Oh, you should argument. Just pay Jeremy Pruitt to go away,
right?
And then, what I think would have been the best play would be to have let Jeremy Pruitt walk without cause. Just say you suck as a football coach. Here's your buyout. Get out of here. And then, if there was some of this stuff that everybody knew about, then just turn yourself in for just the
minimal stuff.
The minimal stuff. Yeah, the stuff you just kind of have to. That way you can get your slap on the wrist and move on. That way the NCAA is like, yeah, okay, Tennessee, yeah, we busted them. They fired Jeremy Pruitt because he sucked, and now you're done. I mean, right now there's motivation to look more into all this stuff. If you'd done it that way, everybody would have been like, all right, moving on. Nothing more to see here. It's like we set the fire and then went around yelling at everybody to come and watch. Instead of just like, you know, burning the trash pile, and if the city finds out, just paying the fine and moving on, you know? It's like we set the burn pile on fire and ran over to the police station and said, hey, we're illegally burning over here. Please come by and write us the max ticket. Like, what in the world?
I'm glad you all agree with me, because there's debates around, you know, where, you know, there was no choice. We had to do it. You know, we had to let them in. What else were we going to do? I feel like we have many other choices than just to open the door to the NCAA, who's known incompetence in these matters, where there's no consistent ruling or there's no standard operating procedures in place. Who gets this kind of punishment? You know, North Carolina running a fake university over there basically gets nothing, but, you know, somebody else can get nuked for the full thing. I just feel like we've really screwed ourselves here. And the more dark cloud it is, and the more it drags out, I feel it's worse. I feel like it's one of the worst things you could do. Instead of admitting you hired a boob and that he sucks and he cheats, let's fire him in December, let's pay his money, and then, you know, also what it does, guys, it hampers, you know, how you guys were talking about, and I hate to bring this up because I know how you guys feel, but, like, it hampers hires being made from either standpoint of people wanted to come to UT with the mess going on, mm-hmm. or it hampers it where you couldn't hire a Jamie Chadwell because he had a violation of some kids selling some textbooks. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. All that, absolutely. I guess that, like, the question is, like, who found out first? Because there's different, I guess, reports about how the NCAA found out. Like, you know, did the whistleblowers go to Tennessee's compliance department, who then immediately went to the NCAA? Did this get higher up? Like, did they go straight to the NCAA? I don't know how all this worked. And I think you can make an argument for either way, but we're really just not going to know until we do get that final resolution, whenever the hell that might be. I mean, you can look at this and say we might be doing the right thing, you know, in air quotes. It also might end up being worse. But if you get it all out of the way now, do you make sure that there's nothing they can come back and, like, retroactively find in a year or two from now? So are you just better to wipe the slate clean? I don't know. Like, and that's what makes this so tough, and that's why you can talk in circles about it and say, oh, yeah, the best thing to do would have been to just pay Jeremy Pruitt, fire him, you know, contractually obligate him to keep his mouth shut and go get the next guy. Or if it was so bad and the NCAA was probably going to find out anyway, was it better to maybe just spill all the beans, do everything you can, fire everybody and move forward? Maybe. We just won't know until we get the final resolution. And not, we're not really, I mean, we're going to get like the punishment. We're going to get, here's what the NCAA says we have to do, but we're still not going to know ever really, did we make it better or worse with the way we handled it? I mean, we might. I find that very hard to see in, you know, a year or two. We're definitely going to be able to look back and say, yep, if we hadn't have done it that way, it would have worked better or worse. I just don't know how you get, like, what the two options might have been.
Well, you just, the only thing you compare it to is how other schools, like what happens to other situations, and they're never all going to be the same. So I think you're right. It's always going to be kind of apples to oranges and having to try and kind of guess what would have happened. But it just seems like we're on track to pay this law firm about as much as we would owe Jeremy Pruitt when it's all said
right,
and done.
Right.
Well, the thing about it is, too, and Davey's a lawyer, so maybe he knows more about this than I do, but, you know, Jeremy Pruitt is suing University of Tennessee to try to get some of that buyout money, right?
I'm sure he will.
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't already.
Yeah. I don't know any specifics, but, I mean, he's going to try to at least get some sort of severance.
Anybody that plays the, like, that just, like, slurps up the company line, I mean, they stood up there as they fed you that line and told you Philip Fulmer was retiring as they fired him and paid him a buyout.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they literally lied right through their teeth as they talked about integrity. So, I mean, I'm sorry if I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt after that happens. I'm just not. And then you come to find out they're spending millions of dollars on investigating themselves, and then that'll cost you millions of dollars in revenue down the road if you get hammered. You know, mm-hmm. if you would have gone to a bowl game, but you can't. Or
well, and then to Zach's point, like, what if you could have gotten James Franklin or, you know, one of who's my guy at Iowa State? I know he wasn't I'm not saying you could have got him, but yeah, a guy like that, maybe you could have got him if it wasn't for all this NCAA stuff. So how much revenue did you potentially, I'm not saying Heupel's gonna, you know, he's guaranteed to fail, but let's say he does, and you could have gotten a more proven coach had you not been under all this NCAA scrutiny and
or,
all the just mess in the athletic department.
Or Heupel can't recruit as well as he could if this cloud wasn't there.
Right.
And then once they finally hammer you and you lose scholarships, now you can't recruit because you literally don't have the scholarships. And it's, you know, if you just keep it under wraps better or make it more of a side note, no one's really thinking about it. No one really cares. It'd be better almost operate like there's nothing that bad going to happen. And then all of a sudden, boom, bad stuff happens. And then, okay, but now we know when we'll come out of it. Instead of having this super big cloud hanging over, like, yep, we spread our legs for the NCAA. We don't know how long it's going to take them to actually get here and get it over with, but here we are. You know, like, it's just a mess. Like, it's the longer it drags out as something that could be bad, the worse it's going to be, no matter what the final verdict is. It'd be better to have been surprised by the verdict and then know when the finish line is to then move forward with the program.
Well, and let's also keep in mind that, like, I realize the NCAA is here and we are under investigation. This might be a bigger deal for SEC football recruiting than just Tennessee. Like, we might have so much stuff that it's like, whoa. Because Matterfall just sent this in. There were at least two other schools, right? Like, the kid who went to Georgia, was it Mims, said something? And then I'm sure there's a couple more. I mean, hell, our coaches all came from like Georgia and Alabama. Like, it feels like maybe they're digging a little bit for some other stuff. And I'm not saying we're going to give it to them, but it sounds like we're giving them just about everything. Batterball makes it a pretty good point. Like, we basically took the plea deal. Like, we're going to rat on everybody, and we're going to fire everyone that we have. We're going to give you all the information. I mean, they interviewed Niedermeyer. They interviewed Pruitt. They interviewed all the coaches. I just wonder if maybe it was, hey, why did you do this? And did you hear of anybody else doing this too? Like, this might open an entire can of worms.
I'm just to put this nicely, I don't see any of that happening whatsoever. It's not like Duke's going to get punished for what Kansas did, like with the whole Zion thing. Like, that's pretty much the equivalent. You need to look at this, even though those are more high profile schools with basketball. How the NCAA likes to handle stuff. It's like, here's the thing I often tell people: when you look at how the NCAA is going to resolve a situation, don't use logic because there is none to apply in that current circumstance.
Yeah, and there's not going to be – thanks for the call, Zach. There's not going to be any precedent. You can't treat it like it's the Supreme Court or some court of law where it's like, well, you know, back in 2012, you guys did this. So then in 2014, you did this. And then you made this decision in 2018. So now in our situation, we would expect – you're going to be at least kind of in this range of punishment or whatever. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. I agree with that take completely.
Yeah, to see other schools get punished from the situation, I would be more surprised with that happening than Tennessee winning the SEC East this year.
Okay, you didn't have to throw that in. We'll come back. Final segment, hour two. Stick with us here on 3&Out. Final segment, hour number two of the program. U.S. Open will get started a little bit later this morning. West Coast start time. Torrey Pines and Cali. Be fun to watch. Nice little teaser going in the weekend.
What did I say? La Jolla?
I don't remember.
La Jolla.
As guys will get going and it'll kind of all build towards 2 p.m.
Sunday. Everyone currently tied at even.
It's going to kind of be bad that, I mean, like Tennessee baseball and the U.S. Open, if it's a...
It'll be a later open. It probably won't end until 9, 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So it should be fine. It'll be perfect.
So hopefully we can watch the game, then just celebrate a victory and be right back over on the golf.
I mean, I definitely want to watch Texas and...
That's true. That's at 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can kind of
either way,
keep an eye on it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, golf's just hard to have on with no sound.
Agree. So listen to the golf and do the two.
Well, I can do that for Texas, but I'm not doing that for Tennessee.
No, of course, yeah.
Tennessee sound on. But like you said, it'll be Sunday, so it from 2 to 5.
Very busy.
2 to 5 won't be too bad on the golf because the action should really be kind of about 5.
I mean, the leaders probably won't even tee off until
5.
Yeah.
5:30. Depending on how early they go.
I don't know, it'll just depend.
I can't remember the last time the schedule. I mean, they've been out, you know, they've played lots of U.S. Opens on the West Coast, but, you know, Pebble and all that stuff. I can't remember the schedule exactly. If it's exactly the same as they do on the Easter, they play it slightly earlier just so that they have, you know, on the weekend after the cut. I don't know, we'll see.
I'll worry about golf after Tennessee plays.
Well, I'm going to be more tuned into the golf beforehand, I think. How much of the College World Series are you going to watch, like, from bracket one? Like, you're going to be glued Saturday to, you know, Vanderbilt? And
glued, no, but I'll catch some of it.
Those
for
teams.
Sure. But I'm not really worried about that half of the bracket, to be honest.
Yeah, you just kind of see how it shakes out.
Yeah, I mean, we're only going to potentially face one team from that side, so I'm much more interested in Sunday watching our side. You teased some good stories. Which ones were you talking about?
Well, speaking of golf, apparently...
Mm-hmm.
On the Corn Ferry tournament.
I'm sorry?
The Corn Ferry.
It's like Is that like league. The Tooth Fairy?
It's the sponsors. And I don't know what they do.
Corn Ferry?
Corn Ferry, yeah. You know how they used to have a nationwide tour and then
Corn Ferry?
I can't remember the other name. And yeah, now it's the Corn Ferry. What's Corn Ferry do? K. Corn with a K.
Counseling.
Okay.
Organizational. Oh, I'm sorry. Consulting, not counseling.
Consulting.
Reading is hard.
Yeah.
They are a global organizational consulting firm. So there you go. Corn Ferry. Great name.
As if 2021 hasn't been wild enough in the stands, now we have professional golfers fighting, and one Corn Ferry pro was even arrested.
I'm for it.
for his part in the melee.
Okay.
You don't need Brooks versus Bryson. Instead,
I take it.
You'll get Austin Daly versus Luke Smith. Fight for the ages.
Austin Daly, any relation?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so. And how does John Daly spell his last name?
D-A-L-Y.
This has an I in it.
So okay.
Yeah, definitely. And an E. Wait. D-A-I-L-E-Y. So
not related.
Not related. And the details from this one are incredible. Daly, 31, and Smith of Covington, Tennessee.
All right.
We're paired up in a qualifying event, and Daly was fed up with Smith and his father, who refused to help him look for his ball. Quote, if we could get some help looking for balls and get a flag stick every once in a while, maybe we could catch up. So apparently, Smith and his dad, who was his caddy, weren't really helping do any of the stuff to help the round move. They weren't. You know, they were waiting for the other guys. Caddy had to grab the flag stick every time. If he hit a ball that was a little wayward, as Matt mentioned, you know, you're on the big tour. You got marshals and people everywhere. You don't even really have to. You know, that's not really a thing. But when you're playing these smaller tournaments, you know, you hit a ball, goes wayward, got to go find it. And apparently, you know, the correct etiquette is to, you know, at least go over and help them for a second as you then move to your
naturally,
ball.
Naturally, right.
So, Daly's fed up, yelled that. The quote there came from Derek Fribbs. He was the third golfer in the group. Fribbs told the Wichita Eagle that Oliver Smith, the father, wasn't having it and fired back at Daly over how he was slowing down the group's play with his lost balls.
Keep him in the fairway, buddy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Quit hitting so many bad shots, we wouldn't be so slow.
It is a little bit of chicken and the egg. Like,
yeah.
If you help me look for him and speed him up, it's like, yeah, but if you wouldn't keep hitting him in the rough, it wouldn't be a problem. It's like, yeah, but you should still help me. Yeah, but you should probably be a little bit better at golf.
He started yelling that his son wasn't there to babysit or look for golf balls.
Not an unfair point. I mean, they're not like on a team or buddies. Like, they just got paired together for a practice round, right? You say practice round?
Oh, this is I think this is in the tournament. Why would they care if it's a practice round?
I mean, is that – so there's no one at this? There's no fans or anything? Not that many marshals?
Oh, I don't know. It came through Knoxville a while back. They have
I'm just asking. I just want details. Like, why do you need all this help finding balls?
I mean, I've been to the Knoxville Open, which is this level of tournament.
Mm-hmm.
There are some marshals in – I mean, there's like a marshal – at the normal landing spot for each hole. However, if you shank it the other direction or whatever, the marshal kind of try and get over there and tell you where they kind of saw it go in at.
Right.
It's not like at a big event.
So in a tournament, though, is it your pairing's responsibility?
Well, that was the question I have for you. And then I wanted to ask you kind of the general etiquette with, you know, when you're playing just around
fun. That's obvious. Like,
but let me finish the story.
I'm
going to
help you out, of course. Yeah.
He started yelling that his son wasn't there to babysit or look for golf balls. The dad is definitely the one who escalated it, according to the third golfer. And then the son is the one who fought. So get this. Daly, a former UAB golfer, and Luke Smith began trading blows on hole number 7. Fribbs said...
It only took 7 holes?
Says
also, that's probably a par 3 if it's like, really, guys? Really?
Frib says Oliver Smith, that's the dad of Luke Smith. So Oliver's the caddy, the dad who escalated this and then had his son, or, you know, they started fighting, literally trading blows, took out a putter and prevented him from breaking up the fight. So the third golfer was like, starts to move to break it up. The dad pulls out the putter and like holds him back with it.
You shall not pass.
Quote, I didn't want to get hit with the putter. It was just a mess. It was tough to watch.
Tough to watch.
As if the fighting part wasn't wild enough, Smith pinned Daly to the ground and made his competitor say uncle before he got off his opponent, the police report states.
Uncle?
Yeah.
How old are these guys?
They're 30s, I think. Maybe 20s. Smith, a golfer at Tennessee Martin, was arrested on a misdemeanor battery charge after being driven along with Daly back to the pro shop.
Wait, so the Tennessee guy won the fight and made the UAB dude say uncle?
Uh-huh.
All right, I got no problem with that.
Fribbs continued his round.
It's time to assert our dominance.
Fribbs continued his round, but shot seven over. He was shook.
You think? You think? Wait, so the guy who won the fight was the guy who was babysitting or not babysitting? Was it the guy who was hitting him in the woods that won the fight?
The guy hitting him in the woods lost the fight.
So he lost his balls.
Yeah.
He lost the fight.
Yeah.
Shot seven over.
Yeah.
But the Tennessee guy got arrested. Arrested for making a guy say uncle, really?
Well, I mean,
it was a fight. They both fought.
They traded blows. I don't know.
Right. If they
maybe
traded,
attacked him. I mean,
did no one pull out a cell phone to film this?
They got this Fribbs guy. He just told him what happened. He said the dad escalated it, and then the son fought the battle.
That's my boy. No one filmed this?
Got his mug shot here and everything.
Poor guy. Is he out on bail or anything?
Nah, I'm sure. It's just misdemeanor. No big deal. Be fine.
Boys will be boys, I say.
Made him say uncle. Held him down. Say uncle.
So how does that work? Not the uncle part. I'm pretty familiar with that.
You understand how that goes.
I don't think in a tournament situation, I don't think you can ask a competitor, hey, my ball went in the woods. Come help me find it. If you help me find it, it will speed play. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and finish out and be on the green waiting on you to get there. Like, I'm not going to get in trouble for slow play because you keep hitting him in the woods. What if I get into a yellow jacket nest? Boom, my round's ruined. I can't even walk. It stings me in the eye. My round's done because I helped you look for your golf ball because you can't hit it straight.
I need to ask I need to ask Tyler Lane about this.
Yeah.
He's caddied for Peter Malnati on the back when it was Nationwide or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So he would know. And of course, he's played in a lot of, you know, high level amateur tournaments around. So I got to think it's the same thing. You play in a big time like amateur tournament, they're not going to have people out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, a ton of people. I get,
balls,
yeah.
But it's going to be like high stakes and there's going to be tension.
Right, yeah.
How does that work?
I'm
like, do I have to go help you look for your ball?
I don't think so. Like,
I mean, you're.
Do I need to read the green for you too, bud?
Like, you're walking, right? Like, I mean, these guys don't do carts or anything. This is like pro golf.
Yeah, you're not going to have a caddy if you're in a cart.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, like SEC players, they carry their own bag
over there.
Yeah, but
if
I'm on the other,
kind of on the way, but
right? But if,
I'm not gonna
if
go
he's 100 feet,
the woods.
Yeah, if he's 100 feet back from me, and I'm in the middle of the fairway, on the left side,
walk by.
I'm just saying, if I'm on the opposite side, I'm not going to walk out of my way to. Like, if you can't find it, I mean, I get it's another set of eyes, but come on.
Well, you know.
Don't lose golf balls.
The old school golf shoes, too, are all, I mean, they're all, like, heavy leathered and either waterproofed or, like, whatever. These new kind of more tennis shoe styles, I mean, you don't want to be getting your feet wet and over getting snake bit over in the weeds, like you're saying.
Yeah, where was this tournament?
I don't know.
Could be a copperhead. Maybe a cottonmouth.
You know.
Could be a bear.
You know what I saw over the weekend?
Snake.
Tennessee Copperheads travel baseball team. Yep.
Oops. Wait, like they stole our idea or they were already there?
They're probably already there. I mean, it looked good.
Of course it did. Of course
it
did.
What's the update?
That's a good question. I'll find it real fast.
What update on?
Did they pick a name?
Oh.
We kind of just quit paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
shows how much we cared.
They lost our fan base. They had that meet and greet where they're going to drink beer.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Don't know. Didn't go.
Did you have to pay for the beer?
Probably. They got nothing on the website. You're checking the Twitter account?
Yeah, nothing. Maybe they're rethinking it. Workshop it. Come back with some.
Mm-hmm.
Some different ideas.
Breaking news, it happened last night, but the Seahawks signed tight end Dominic Wood Anderson.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd they sign him to?
It's just a tryout deal.
Okay.
They already have like six tight ends.
None of them are good, though.
I know. It's crazy. I'm holding this one guy they drafted 2 years ago, trying to see if he's going to do anything.
Who's that?
Colby Parkinson, I think is his name.
Gotcha.
This big athletic guy. He was hurt when he got there, so was hoping he could be a diamond in the rough. Huh. There's a... Yeah, I don't know. Nothing from Knox Pro Soccer.
Mm-mm.
I thought... When did they do that? I thought like in 2 weeks we're going to have some...
That's what they said. They lied to us.
Yeah.
Maybe the feedback wasn't good, and they're going to start over. Just a hunch.
That would be...
One in Stripe says, to be fair, a guy in the Tri-Cities pitched Tennessee Copperheads as the new name for the Oilers when they picked the Titans.
Oh.
I think Black Copper and Teal was the color offerings. I'm glad they stuck with the Titans.
What colors did he say? Black Copper and Teal?
Mm-hmm.
Black Copper
and Teal.
Teal.
You can make it work.
Isn't that kind of... I mean, the Diamondbacks are kind of black, copper, and red, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have some throwback uniforms that have some teal in it, though.
Wait, black, copper, and red?
Teal. Nate said red.
Aren't theirs on
so
Diamondbacks?
So the Jags?
Sort
right?
of.
Aren't I'm the Jags?
Yeah.
The
like
Jags have changed. You'd have to go back to...
What they were back then, I guess. In the 90s,
yeah.
Think about his...
Aren't they currently, isn't that teal, technically?
I think so.
And it's black and gold, so it'd be a little bit different.
Again, they didn't go with this. This was just what
no,
the
I know.
That was pitched.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, that was in May when they did that. They're way behind schedule.
What are they waiting on?
Mm.
Gotta get to work.
Goodness.
Dave, are you ready for the Depot?
I'm always ready for the Depot.
That's okay. Well, we know how this is going to go.
They had the beer thing on May 26th.
Get it together, people.
Come back. Kickoff hour 3 next.